Saturday, November 19, 2011.
Welcome, everybody. I think Irwin's going to start this, so I've carried on all day, and I'm going to shut up. For a while, anyway. What is this disbelief?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. I think I'll go buy a lottery ticket or something.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Well, we have Nolan Crabb up here, Irwin Hott, and Mickey Prahan. And we're all between the covers here.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Bob, you're back there and back somewhere. I thought that was a great title for this, though.
It's a threesome.
That's a good one.
Yeah. We're here to talk about talking books, audio books, braille books, just about any kind of books except maybe print books, and who knows, we might even get into that a little bit. And I think it will be very informal. We might each have a little bit to say about what we read, how we read it, and we'll certainly open it up for questions. I have a notebook here, and with internet connectivity, we might be able to get online and do something if that seems appropriate, and no one has internet connectivity with his iPhone. So I guess I'll start.
I've got a laptop here.
Okay.
For the same thing. So, and a card reader.
Yeah. Okay. So. I guess I'll start just by saying that a lot of the things, especially how many people here do download books from National Library Service?
Yep.
You got to say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay. How many no?
No.
Okay. Well, right. We can help some with that, and I think it's fair to say that if we don't help you here, any of us will be glad to help as much as we can if you call us or email us or something. Because it once you do it a few times, it's not all that hard to do. It's like so many other computer things, it's a little scary at first, but once you do it a few times, it's great. I'm probably up to about 300 NOS books now on a backup hard drive. Before the house fire, I think I had around 1,500. I might still have those buried away in the storage place somewhere if that hard drive survived.
But you didn't lose them all.
Well, I did lose most of them. And the good thing about those is I can download them again.
Yeah,
of course, it might take a long time, but it's not like it's something that's lost forever. So at least that's good. Of course, a lot of those books I hadn't read yet, but they're still there, so I can get them. I was one of the fairly early beta testers in the download process where they started with magazines. And it actually sort of worked fairly well, but they really improved it. And at some point, the Braille and the Talking Book sites will be combined. I've not heard an official date about that. It keeps, I think, getting put off. At some point, magazines will stop being available on cassette, and the only way to get them will be to either download them or get them on cartridge. And the last I heard, NLS was going to probably combine magazines on a single cartridge. So you would have to return it before you got, presumably, before you got more magazines. And I don't think that's changed, but I haven't heard anything recently. But the downloading is great. You get exactly the same thing you would if you get the digital cartridge from Cleveland Library. The quality is just as good. In fact, you can buy cartridges or you can use thumb drives and you can put the books on the cartridge or the thumb drive and play them on your digital player from NLS. If you have a stream, you can hook the cartridge or the thumb drive up to the stream and play your books. The BookPort Plus will do the same thing. The BookSense, I think you would have to copy the files to the BookSense. I don't
That's
think
right.
it recognizes a cartridge.
That's right.
Or I don't think it will recognize the NOS format on a thumb drive, although I've not tried that. I don't think it would. So there are all kinds of ways to play books. The simplest thing is, of course, to get the cartridge and plug it into your NLS player. The wonderful thing about downloads is you can get the book when you want to. If you think at 2 o'clock in the morning you want to, read some book, one of the books I like to read every few years is 7 Days in May, And that was one that was written in the early 60s, and it's actually one that is on the Bard site. It's on the NLS site. You can download it with, what is it, Leon Janney.
Who's the author of that?
Read it. What is it? Knebel and Fletcher.
Yeah.
K-N-E-B-E-L, I think. Yeah. So it's an old recording. It's incredibly good quality, and it's a neat book. It's essentially Cold War, where a general is deciding he's going to take over the government because he doesn't like the president and Congress.
Just, well,
there are some interesting, but anyway, I tend to read that every two or three years in May for some reason. I'm not sure why, but I'm one who does like to reread books. I'm hardly getting any Braille now, although I do download some Braille magazines and occasionally a Braille book. The cookbooks in Braille, I tend to read them on the Braille light or something else. But it is nice sometimes to see a recipe in Braille rather than listen to it. And although with the audio cookbooks, if they're marked up well, it's not too hard to find a recipe. Anyway, I don't know, Nolan, if you want to comment.
I don't know how this audience wants to handle this. Would it be of value to you if we go with you through the steps of downloading a book and putting it on something?
Yes.
Or would you care? I don't know.
Okay. Mickey, you want to add anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're fine.
Yeah, Rob, you had something?
Sure.
Yeah.
I do 40 or 50 books in my book sets. I just hook it up to the computer and copy it.
I do that the same way. The reason I don't do it the automatic way is that they go the stream companion goes by title, and my brain goes by author.
Yeah. The files, as you may know, when you download them, are zipped files. And that very simply means it's a way to take a whole bunch of files and compress them into one. So it makes it much easier. Rather than having to download 29 files for a book, you download one. Then when you unzip the file, that recreates the file structure. And most unzip programs will let you, if you choose the right option, unzip to the folder that is the name of the book. That way you don't have to create a folder, you don't have to type in the name, you don't have to know it. And it depends a little bit on what unzip program you're using. Some are different. Windows XP and beyond come with a built-in unzip utility, so you don't need to buy a specific program necessarily. But if you can unzip the book to the folder that it is named, then that makes it very easy to copy it to the stream or a cartridge or whatever it is. And then eventually, once you know the folder works, the book is readable, you can go back and delete the zip file and just keep the folder. I also tend, what you get are books mostly that are titled DB- for digital book. Now, sometimes when you have very long file names, and I don't know if it's, I think it's probably 256 characters, those names are truncated, so you may find a book that starts in the middle of the author's name. And it doesn't matter a great deal. I tend personally to delete the DB- part.
I do too.
That way the books are sorted alphabetically, and it makes it much easier to find an author. But that's personal preference.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Am I doing it the hard way by going into the zips directory and copy all into a subdirectory I created myself, or should I use a zip instead?
Well, what I do anyway is I have a folder called DTB, for my digital talking books. And I put the zipped files in there, and then when I unzip to that same folder. That way I have a group of folders at the top of the directory with each book, and I have the zipped files at the end. So once I know that the book is okay, I go in and I can delete all the zipped files. I don't think it matters how you do it as long as it works for you. You can download, by the way, 3 books simultaneously from NLS. And if you get into magazines, you can actually download, say, 3 books in 1 magazine or 2 books in 2 magazines.
Or 4 magazines.
Yeah, or 4 magazines. But the magazine capability gives you 1 extra download simultaneously.
Are there people here who have not downloaded books and who have not created an account with the National Library Service on its website? Okay, that's what I was afraid, that we were jumping the...
Good move.
Yeah, good.
Gun.
Essentially, you can go to the NLS website and you can create a username and a password. I think I'm right on this. And you choose your player. Now, this is especially true for the commercial players, but I think the NLS digital player is also listed there. So... If you're doing a commercial player, it may take a few days to get the vendor of that player will send you an email, and they'll want the serial number of that player, and then they will send you a user key that you have to install. And again, it's not really hard to do. You have to pay attention and follow the directions.
And it's one-time thing.
One-time thing, yeah.
You're going to have to keep doing this.
Yeah, so you do it once for the stream or the book sense or whatever player it is. I'm not exactly sure how the process works if the only thing you have is an NLS player, but there is no key that you have to install.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you have a stream and the NLS digital player, you don't have to do this.
No.
The NLS player, you don't have to do it at all. The stream, the book sense, whatever, you have to do it for each player. Now, this is not a separate password on the website or anything. This is only the user key that authorizes the playing of NLS books. Mm-hmm. It uses the serial number of the player to create a unique key that the player recognizes. And the manufacturer of the player sends you that.
In your email.
Right. And then you install it. And there are directions in the email on how to install it.
And they're very comprehensive. It's not going to be hard. I don't care how little experience you have with the technology, it will not be heart-rendingly difficult to install that key, and it's only done one time, and then you don't have to ever do it again under normal circumstances. I mean,
yeah. And then what you get is a username and a password for the NLS website.
And they will check with your library in Cleveland to make sure you really are, you know, eligible.
Yeah, and that you don't have 1,000 outstanding books or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You probably need to be a borrower in good standing. Once that done, and what does it take? About 3 days, maybe?
I had it done in a 24-hour
period. Yeah, I have too, but
it can be super quick.
2 or 3 days sometimes.
They say 3 days, but they probably do better than that normally.
Yeah.
Then it's a pleasant surprise.
Exactly.
Yes.
But once that's done, you'll get an email from NLS that says, hey, you're all right, you're in, and here's your password, here's your username, etc.
That is a one-time password.
Yeah,
you then need to change it to something that you'll be familiar with.
That's right.
And like any other passwords, don't use the same password for everything. They require, I believe, at least one uppercase character and at least one number. So, you know, you want to use something that's reasonable, that you will remember, or that you write down someplace, not paste it on the computer. You know, the computers will, if you choose, remember your password, but you need to be sure to remember it also.
They also say that you can share your password with one person who could be responsible for downloading books for you, and that's a fairly new change.
I've been very frustrated about this. I've been downloading books for 6-8 months. And I finally called the Cleveland Library, and it doesn't seem to be any different, but so many of the books on board, you see, is mystery after mystery after fantasy after fantasy. Mm-hmm. And there's a very serious imbalance with classical or serious literature. And I called the Cleveland Library, and just from my sampling of what they had, they don't seem to have anything better than Bard does as far as classics or serious literature, like, you know, poetry of John Keats or Wordsworth or novels of George Eliot or something that's more serious than classic.
Okay, well, I can talk about it a little bit, maybe. Cleveland, unless you get cassettes, won't have anything better than Bard, because everything up on Bard goes to Cleveland eventually on cartridge.
Okay,
and it's on Bard first.
It was the same,
yeah. Okay. There are a couple problems here. One is that all new titles are digital. They are doing older titles on, I won't say a random basis, but it depends on many factors, including the condition of the master tapes. And many of the classics were recorded years and years ago, and there may not even be master tapes, or they may not be in any condition to reproduce the book in digital format. So there are lots of factors that go into that. Some may actually just plain be re-recorded, but that's an expensive and long time process.
Is there any way of influencing the process?
There is a
collection development
committee, and there are regional representatives, and I don't know who it is for Ohio right off. I don't know, Mickey, if you know.
No.
You can find out from Cleveland who your regional representative is and talk to them. No, Will is the librarian at Cleveland. It's a consumer representative. Now, you know, there are people from the library on that committee. But there is a consumer from the region. Yeah, Mickey?
You might want to consider, what is it, Ally? What do they call it?
Recording for the Blind. Learning Ally now, yeah.
Learning Ally, who would have that material. You might, if you want to, go to audible.com. It costs, but it's probably there.
Okay.
And some public domain books may also be available. There is a list, 91 resources of audio books that were free. And those probably range from pretty bad to quite good. And most of those would most likely be public domain.
From the November 2011 newsreel, https://www.techsupport.alert.com/free-books-audio.
Gutenberg.com.
Yeah.
It's actually Gutenberg, GUTENBERG.org.
Well, I was thinking more of audiobooks, but yes, Gutenberg is wonderful for public domain books. Especially if you have a computer or iPhone or something like that.
Joyce, real quick before we get to that question, on the NLS main site is a link that's called NLS Collection Policy. And if you hit enter on that, it will then let you see a document that dictates, or that tells you rather, how they choose what they choose and how to influence the choice.
NLS Collection Policy.
Yeah, it's the NLS Collection Policy, it's called. I'm not going to give you the link right now because you won't remember it.
It's too long.
Yeah.
ACB is a rep also.
Yeah. Huh? But that's the NLS main site, not the BARD site.
Okay. Correct.
LLC.gov/NLS, I believe it is.
Yeah, but then after that there's...
right, there's more. Yeah.
Yeah, it's aboutcalls.com, aboutcalls.html. Sorry, yes, I'll send it to you. Short answer, yes. But it's their. I'm looking at it right here. It's their policy and how you contact people to change what they collect or what they do.
I recently received a letter from Learning Ally saying that I need to pay my membership and for years. You know, I did not have to do that. Is there a change?
Yep. A lot of people are very upset about that. Now everybody has to pay.
Oh, everybody does? Really?
Yep.
That's what they're claiming.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Originally, they were their contention was that because of the contract that some of us signed when we joined, because of the age that we now are, but because it was free at that point, the claim was that it was a contract violation to charge us. However, you're right, I don't know what the outcome is, because when I called them about my own, I first got a call from a client, and then I called them and I said, but I thought that that was in violation of the contract. She said, I've never heard of that. Now, I don't know whether they actually got a new read on it, or whether it's just that enough of their staff have changed that they, I don't know, but yeah, they're now saying that everyone has to pay.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
They're going to lose a lot of people.
Well, there goes me.
Including me.
I'll be gone.
I won't pay. I'm
There's
sorry.
No way.
Nope.
Not worth it. I don't pay for Bookshare either, but that's just me being me. I realize there are people who do.
But the question of whether that will stand if it's challenged is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been getting books from them since the mid-60s.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also don't know if the information they're providing is correct, which is why I'm now trying to move that question up the line.
Is John Kelly still in charge over there?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
If he were, this wouldn't be happening. But, okay.
That answers that question. I have a question.
Okay.
I haven't downloaded any books yet, so I don't know how, but I was told that the digital reader from the library is will only accept certain flash drives.
Yes and no. There are, well...
That was a good answer.
It won't accept everything.
Okay.
There are some flash drives it will not accept. There are fewer now. They just came out with an update, which is somewhat controversial. It solves a problem that caused many flash drives not to be recognized. In doing so, it created another problem. And that is that you get less battery life. So instead of getting, say, 27 hours using a flash drive, you might get 20. They say a third less. Now, for some people, that's really important. Other people, it isn't. Now, it doesn't affect cartridges, only thumb drives. The other thing they did, which I have very mixed feelings about, and I know some people hate, is that they changed the way the file structure works. They made it more like Windows, where the files show up alphabetically, whereas before they showed up in the order that they're on the drive. And some people care about that, some people don't.
And I think it's the best thing since sliced bread.
And I'm neutral on it, and no one hates it. So
yeah, I won't do it because...
Well,
because I like to see my books in the order in which I put them on the cartridge.
Yeah, so you can make a case for it either way.
Yeah.
And I suspect that, you know... there's some people who must have requested that they do it in alphabetical order, and they had the loudest voices.
Well, before I get a purchase, flash drive, thumb drive, what should I purchase?
Typically, the cards, the smaller capacity cards are more likely to be okay, or flash drives, say 2, 4, 6, 8 gig probably. There is an what's it called? There is a
Kingston.
No, Kingston are highly recommended. But I was thinking there is a set of files that are sometimes on flash drives that
U3. That's becoming less and less.
It is. So U3 drives just wouldn't work.
They've kind of gone away.
Yeah. Also, some SD cards and card readers are supposed to work now with this update, and I've not tested that. But they're supposed to.
And you can't always tell. I've got a 32 gig card that works beautifully on, or not card, thumb drive that works beautifully. And other people's, it doesn't. So.
Yeah. And speed doesn't matter. You don't need to get a high speed thing for a camera or anything.
Yeah, don't let them sell you a high speed card or thumb drive because it won't matter.
You're paying too much.
Where do you get
almost any place should have it. It's a well-known.
Micro Center is where I bought mine.
Best Buy doesn't have it.
Buy.com.
Okay. Yeah, Amazon online. I probably I know I've seen them at Staples.
Yeah.
So, matter of fact, Staples just had a deal on 8 gig thumb drives for $9.99.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, I've been playing twice that much, and they're supposed to be on sale.
Where we first hit our snag, I never dreamed of it, and then I had to find out the hard way. Micro Center had some 2 gig knockoffs, and they, the thing with the drive, the recorder just would not to recognize the fact that it was there.
It might, the player.
It might. They were knockoffs.
Well, sure, it's their house brand.
Yeah.
So what do you expect?
So it just means you have to select.
You want to be careful, and a lot of folks have good success with Kingston.
Yeah. The advantage to a national brand is they also typically have a decent warranty. And that can be important. I have had thumb drives or SD cards fail. Not often, but they do. So
do we still want to go through the process of downloading something, or is that not important? I don't know what you want. Because of the connection in this hotel, what is going to matter is that we pick a super tiny book. I've picked P.D. Eastman's Are You My Mother, which is a children's book for like 3 or 4 year olds, but it's 22 minutes long to read, therefore it's going to be quick to download.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and I've gone to the NLS page, and I'm using Window Eyes, but you can do the same thing with JAWS, so you know, don't panic about the fact that I'm not using what you would use. I've gone to the NLS page, and I actually selected the book. I just picked this one. There's an edit box, and you go type in the search term you want, a title or an author, whatever. And when the book comes up,
link download, Are You My Mother?
It says link download, Are You My Mother?
All voices rate 38.
I'm trying to slow it down a little more for you just in case.
All voices rate 36.
And it's going to be a little hard to hear, but that's as much volume as I can give this laptop. Sorry. So it says link download, Are You My Mother? So I'm going to hit enter on this.
Desktop.
Come on.
Desktop. Selection by subject.
Come on. Help
link
me out
download
here.
Arthur. Link download, Are You My Mother?
Okay, I'm going to hit enter on it.
Progress to 1%. Cancel. Dialogue 5.
And now it's asking me where I want this to go, and I'm using Internet Explorer. If you're using Firefox, it'll be a little different, but not much. So it's asking where I want this to go. And I'm going to
save it. Open. Oh, what's the?
I'm going to save it. First of all, it's asking where do you want? Do you want to save it or open it? Well, I don't want to open it. So I'm going to press save to save this.
Name.
Now it's I have to tell it where to save it one time.
App data one.
So I'm going to go to downloads.
Downloads 4 of 30.
And there's my downloads folder. I'm going to save the book in it.
File name at DB Eastman P. D. Are You My Mother? DB22795.zip.
And it's giving me the file name .zip. So I'm going to do Alt S as in save, and it's going to
dialogue
download this book.
Guy from the Star.
Oh gosh, it's done already? Wow! Even in a hotel, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow! Okay. Well, that makes me happy-fied. All right, so my book is downloaded. I'm going to go ahead and close the page.
Desktop.
That's my desktop. I'm going to go to Downloads, which is where I put it. And to get there, I'm using Windows 7. So to get there, I'm going to tap the Windows key.
Start menu.
And it says Start menu, and I'm going to type in the word Downloads.
Amazon.
And it's going to give
downloads.
Me, eventually, if I down arrow, it'll give me my choice to download, go to my Downloads directory. So here I am. I'm going to tap Enter on that. And I've got a bunch of stuff in here, but I'm going to type the letters DB because that's how this book starts.
DB Eastman.
And there it is, DB Eastman. And it's right there at the. I'm ready now to. But it's a zip file. Think of a zip file as powdered drink mix. You can't just sit there and eat powdered drink mix. Well, you could, but it probably wouldn't taste so great. So we have to add something to this. And by that, I mean we're going to unzip that file. It's like adding water to your powdered drink mix. It's sort of a strange analogy, but it works. And I'm going to insert this little card into... My computer has a card reader as built into it. Yours may not. This is just one way to download things. Hopefully it's going to open. And the card seems to be not good. Yeah, but the card's not opening. What I would do if I were a real man or a real computer user would be that this card would tell me that it's now operating. I have another card up in my room, but that's too far from here to get. And, well, we'll just pretend we're going to transfer it to the card.
That's right. D.B. Eastman.
Stupid card.
D.B. Eastman.
That brand new card,
D.
too.
D. Yeah. Are you my mother? D.B. 22795.zipdate.
Okay, so anyway.
11/4/42 p.m.
Oh, yeah, it's broken. Look at
zip
that.
Folder size
brand new card. Shut up, machine. So, well, I'm going to pretend that my hard drive is my card, and we're going to just transfer this book to a piece of the hard drive here. Anyone have a memory card that I could...
No, I don't. I usually have one in my pocket, but I don't.
SD card. Let me see. I think I have
an SD card. Yeah, that's...
Yeah,
I have one in my purse, which I left with Bob.
No. Thank you. Here's my stream.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, can we just borrow the one that's in your stream?
Yeah, I'll give you the stream.
And so I promise not to corrupt the card or anything silly.
Don't make promises.
Yeah, better not lend you my stream card since it's recording.
If you can just give me the stream.
My card is, my reader is actually, thank you, I'll be careful with this. Okay, so I'm going to insert my card, or his card, into my reader.
Right away, he thinks it's his card.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
That's what friends are for.
How
scary is that?
Ways.
There it goes.
Go selected item.
There it goes.
Logado, play.
It's opening his card. And
VRDT beat.
And it's VR on this card, particular card. He has a folder called $VRDTB, and without going into too much technical minutia with you, that's the folder where we're going to put this book called "Are You My Mother?" All right.
VR.
So I'm going to open it, and I won't play the other. Look at the other books that are in here in this list. That's your business.
You recommended all of them anyway.
That's very kind of you. So I'm going to
see users bolded down.
Alt-tab back to the downloaded book, and it's called areyoumymother.zip. Now, everybody has their own way of doing this, folks. So I hesitate to... Well, I'll just show you mine.
And it also depends on the program
it
you're
does.
Running.
It does. And
yeah.
I'll just show you what I would do,
DB.
And I hope that's okay. I'm going to push the context key... or the applications key, which is right next to the control on the right side of your keyboard.
DB Eastman.
And it's going to...
Open O.
It's going to ask me if I want to open it. I'm down arrowing now. It says open.
Open a new...
Open a new window.
Extract. Open a new... Scan. Extract all. T-dial.
That's what I want. Extract all. And so I'm going to tap enter on that.
Menu closed. Extract compress zip folder.
Files will be extracted to this following folder, and then it gives me a potential folder. Well, I don't want to use that one. I want it to go to his card. So here's what I'm going to do. This is easy. Don't panic. I'm going to get to the front of this, and I'm going to just trying to think how to do this most easily so that it won't bog you down.
Does it have a drive letter?
Yeah, I'm going to type in the drive letter, which is E. So I'm going to put that in here.
Colon.
So it's now E:\. And I'm going to get rid of some of this other junk that's in here. I'm going to do Control-Shift-Right-Arrow to get rid of it.
User select bullet down DB unselect.
Okay, good. And I'm going to delete all this junk that I don't need with the delete key.
D.
So I now have E:\, and then the file name. But I need... something more than that. I've got to put in the name of the folder where this is going to go, and that's $VRDTB. And then I'm going to put a backslash right there. Hope that was a backslash.
Back D.
Yep.
Backslash.
Okay, so now I'm going to press enter. And
cancel. Dialogue copying 17 items, 1.27 MB. Copying 17 items.
Copying 17 items, 1.27 megabytes.
DB Eastma discovered 17 items, 1.27 MB. Cancel more details, 82%, 100% C users.
And it's done. It's on his card now. So now we can take that card, put it back in his stream, and in theory it will play the book. And you'll notice that I pulled it out, and my little machine went beep beep to let me know the card was disengaged. I'm going to reinsert it into his stream.
Do you have anything else in that subdirectory?
No, just the $VRDTB, a bunch of other books, but there is no other. Now, the book sense is going to behave differently because its file structure is different.
Yeah, the book sense essentially will do the same thing, except it will put the books in a DAISY folder.
Yeah, but the whole thing is you got all those files scattered among the other files.
No, you have each book in its separate folder.
Okay.
Within DAISY or $DTB.
Okay. Now I've turned on his player, and he's got some stuff in here. Do you mind if I go try to find my book?
That's fine.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
You haven't recommended.
Okay. Well.
Actually, there is, but not much.
Well, since this is between the covers, we'll copy the X-rated material.
We'll turn it louder.
And I can't turn it any louder. So I will tell you what I'm doing. I'm just manipulating, moving among the books on his card.
No, I just wanted to know what his books were.
I see how you are.
I'll charge a rental fee, Mickey. You can look through.
Try and collect.
We've got about 8 or 9 minutes here.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting through these quickly. I'm up to book 12. Where's Are You My Mother? Come on, guys. Give me a break here.
Who's the author?
Eastman.
Should have come up by now.
He's got Unbroken on here. That looks good.
Yeah.
That's Hillenbrand. That's H.
Oh, and he's got a book here called The Cruel Sea. That's an outstanding book. Just outstanding. It's a World War II.
See.
Well, I don't now see it on here. That's really embarrassing.
Do you ever use the companion because it's so much easier?
Oh, I hate it.
I hate the companion.
For a variety of reasons. The companion takes a long time to load. It looks at all the books on your computer, and if you have many hundreds of them, that can take a long time. So I personally, I find it much easier just to copy the books, unzip them, copy the books, and be done with it. Now, some people love the companion. The only thing I use it for is converting notes files to WAV files.
DB.
Contact.
Right, that's the only thing I use it for.
Set, cut, copy, create, delete, rename, drop, open, DB, iOS, DB.
Well, what I'm actually doing is I'm putting them up as a 3GP file because that saves lots of space and download time, and you can still play it on your NLS player, the stream, or anything else.
Colon.
I'm putting them on SendSpace. So I'm not converting to a WAV because those WAV files are huge.
And we're getting about 5 downloads per month. People
so our meeting. I maintain an email list and mail out the link to our members. And you can go download the meeting if you didn't make it. So I just record it on the stream and upload it.
So much sense.
Back
Actually, there are 3 or 4 of us who record it.
Yeah.
Browse.
How do they open it?
Copy and drop.
If you copy it, for example, to the other books, $VR other books on the stream, or you put it in the root folder on your thumb drive or cartridge for the NLS player, it will play it. So you don't have to do anything to it. You just download it and put it where you want to play it.
See users.
Right. Well, you know, these things always happen when you're doing a demo.
Sorry.
I know there's some different talking Uyghurs out there. What are they and which ones are the best?
What do you mean by talking readers?
Okay. I know Kindle has a talking one now.
Well, sort of.
So
There is a Kindle at this point, and the Amazon made a huge mistake in not making it accessible from the get-go, but they didn't, and that's past history. There is an application for the PC that will work. I've not tried it. I had actually downloaded it just a day or two before the house fire, and I've never gotten back to it. The Kindle itself is still, as far as I know, not accessible?
Mostly it is.
Yeah, okay.
Well, depends which.
The question is mostly.
Mostly.
And
What you have to do is contact someone, have someone help you set it up for accessibility. You can't do it yourself. And then it stays that way. But it's not. Some books are accessible and some aren't.
Yeah. And that's the big. You know, what they can do is the author or the publisher can say, don't make it accessible. And then you can't read it.
They feel that that will be cutting into their sales of the printed book if it's made in Audible.
This person's wanting to know what kind of a book reader to buy. So if you're talking about this Kindle that's only partially accessible.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, let's face it. If you want a... It depends on what you want to read. If you're doing NLS books and Learning Ally, and then the player from NLS is just fine. You know, you've got the Victor Stream, you've got the Bookport Plus, you've got the BookSense.
Each one has its strengths.
Each one has its strengths and weaknesses. The Stream is probably the most intuitive to learn, in my view, but it's old technology now, so it's slow. There are ways around that. You can take the card out and put it in a card reader. But, you know, and the BookSense probably has the best text-to-speech of the units that are out there now. The text-to-speech on the Stream and the Bookport Plus, in my view, are terrible.
And I just discovered why that wouldn't download. I inadvertently downloaded it to another jump drive I have on here that I forgot I had connected.
Oh, that's okay.
So,
you know, you make me feel so normal.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, folks.
Well, it's 4:59. We probably need to wrap up. But I think you can certainly get in touch with any of us, and we'll be glad to help if you have questions or want help. We'd be glad to do whatever we can. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.